Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk. My guest today is book coach Abigail Reike, who is back to the program to give us some insights on how an author makes their book different from every other book. The personal elements that authors must provide to make their book unique, personable, and powerful. So welcome, Abigail, to the program.
Hi, Patty. So nice to be here.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you back. So I was really fascinated by the last post that you sent out, and you talked about how authors need to make their book really kind of come from their heart. And so you talked about the process of writing the book that makes it thematic. You mentioned the word thematic level, and to tell you the truth, I don't even know what that means. What does thematic level mean?
Thematic level? And yeah, we can talk about it. There's all kinds of layers. And thank you. Yeah, the last post I wrote was, I like to say that oftentimes what is preventing you from writing your book is what your book is really about. And what that means is that, you know, if you struggle with fears or your perfectionism, there's probably elements of how perfectionism gets in the way of our joy in our lives. There's probably some element of that within the characters. I'm only thinking of perfectionism because a lot of writers struggle with that. But, you know, if you're fearful about how people will perceive you when this book comes out, you know, all of these are normal human fears as we're writing or we're creating works of art. And I often tell my clients, give it to your characters, give it to your book. The whole post I wanted to talk about, all that comes up, because writing a book is a long-term process. So you're going to be living, you're going to be going through different things in your life. You're going to be, you know, experiencing different ups and downs and failures. And I think a lot of authors feel like they have to keep that completely separate from their writing and their book and their process. And I like to encourage people to let it be a part of the process, even sort of the confusion or the worries and fears of failure that you might have while you're writing your book. The good thing is your character is going through an arc where they're feeling all of these feelings too. So those are great places where you can use your own experiences, even writing your book, to deepen your characters.
So I want to get this on a more personal level. I've started writing a cozy book, right? And I have never done this before. I wrote a children's book that was just one of the pantser type books that just, you know, it was okay, but it never went anywhere. So now I'm working on trying to write a book, and I really don't know what in the heck I'm doing. And I'm working with a coach, but it still seems overwhelming. So it's like, you get this idea that you want to write, but what the heck? Where do you start when you haven't taken the college courses and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, of course, there's the craft. There's, you know, and that's like any art and craft, there's a long learning process to how to best give your ideas to a reader, you know, how to make your ideas shine. To me, some of the hardest part of writing a book is figuring out what you're trying to say, figuring out what you're writing about. And that, and here's what I would say to writers and to you to make you feel a little less lost in the wilderness, that give yourself, I always say, give yourself permission and give yourself a timeline. Like, I don't know how long, you know, depending on how long you're able to write, 3 months or 6 months, and just explore your ideas. Just write your book, get it down on the page, because that's a huge hurdle to get ideas in a more or less organized fashion down onto paper. That is huge. And that's sort of the process of writing your first draft. It doesn't have to be perfect, because actually what you want to do is whenever you're done with that time period that you gave yourself to just write your book, write your draft, then you want to take it and you want to analyze it. You want to read it over yourself to try to figure out, what is this book about? What am I trying to say? Because sometimes, you know, for example, you're talking about like a cozy, you're writing a cozy mystery. If you started to write, you say, you know, I'm going to write a romance novel. Well, genres like cozy mysteries, romances, they have certain expectations. When the reader reads it, they expect certain elements are going to happen in that book. And you know, cozy mysteries are usually, you know, there's not going to be blood and guts and violence. It's usually going to be kind of a sweet town or you know, sense of place. There's going to be a witty character who's kind of using their brain to solve crimes, right? So there's going to be certain genre expectations. Same with if you started out and you said, you know, I want to write this romance, but then in the course of writing it, you find maybe there's not a happy ever after ending. You know, maybe this is really about a person coming into their own and being okay, even if they lose love. Well, that's no longer a romance, but you're sort of letting then the story guide you to what kind of story you want to write. But you've got to let yourself write it first before you can take a step back and really figure out what it is you're writing about. So let me ask you, Patty, where are you in the process? Have you written a draft yet?
No. I'm actually just working on what do you call it? The background, you know, the care developing who the characters are and the town they live in and that kind of thing. So, yeah, and I almost feel like it's like, why am I doing this? Why in the heck am I doing this? It's like it's so out of my comfort zone. It's like, well, what fantasy did I think about that I was going to write a fiction book? This is like so crazy. So yeah, I feel like I tell you the truth. I feel like I'm trying to climb a huge mountain, and I don't, you know, I'm still in my flip-flops or something. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But you know what? At some point up the mountain, you're gonna find, you know, you're gonna find the boots that you need. They will be there. But your question, why am I doing this, is the right question to be asking. There's some inspiration, there's something driving you. And to me, this is where you are in the process, and this is the hardest part. Why? Yeah. What is it that lights you up about this book? What is it that lights you up about the story that you're imagining? That is really valid. And I think too often authors don't value that, you know, but that's a key question to be asking yourself as you're writing, because that's going to be your North Star. That's going to be your guiding light. That's what's going to help everything come together in the end. You know, sort of what lights you up about your story? Because that's going to help you figure out what your character arc is, what that character is sort of struggling with, you know, what it is that their problem in the beginning, and then some better truth they have to learn by the end. And that's all a character arc is. Usually a character begins with some flawed worldview or you know, lie about, you know, like, I don't deserve love until I get a good job and lose 20 pounds. That's a lie. You know, that's not a human truth. But maybe a character has to go through a series of events in the story to really accept the truth that they can be loved just the way they are. Like, that's an example of a character arc. In cozy mysteries, it's usually about the protagonist solving the mystery, right? Or doing the, you know, figuring out the crime. But usually to do that, the protagonist has to draw on some skill, right? Does that ring a bell? Is that something that you're incorporating?
I think so. I kind of, this is kind of weird, but it just feels like right now there is so much tension in the world that I myself can hardly handle reading a book where there's more tension. It's like I'm like maxed out with, you know, political struggles and financial and everything else. It's like I'm looking for an escape. So that's what a cozy mystery is. It's basically like a, you know, a low level kind of a book. I work at a National Historical Park bookstore, and we're all about history. We're all about wars fought and lost and people's struggles, you know, and it's like, yeah. I just can't go any more into the last days of somebody or whatever. So I'm just looking for, I guess I'm looking like for a sandbox book, kind of a playtime book. So it's like, how deep do I want to get? How much struggle do I want to include in my book?
That's all that's and that is all valid. And so that's the thing. It doesn't have to be, it can be so satisfying that perhaps the struggle is simply like this puzzle piece of a mystery, but then using wits and sort of being a good person, they're able to right some wrong in the world. And to get back to your original question about theme, and we will talk more about thematic elements, is that in mystery and crime, it's usually the theme is usually built in around justice. So what hearing you speak about, I'm maxed out with tensions in the world, financial, political, you are able then to create a world where justice prevails. And right there, that's a great guiding principle for your book.
So I kind of going back to my original thing when I talked to you about doing this recording was that you talked about how an author makes a book uniquely there, and you said that there's the about. I mean, I could see that coming through, like just from what you're saying. How do you keep true to the genre? Like it's a cozy mystery or it's a thriller or whatever. How do you keep true to that so that the reader says, this is the kind of book I wanted, and this is in my mind, and the kind of book I expected it to be. So you want to provide that for the reader, and yet, maybe you go off on a tangent, but maybe that's just the first draft wandering. I don't know.
And in the first draft, you'll definitely go off on tangents. That's just part of it. And I think I advise writers not to try not to. If you try, if you try to get your first draft right on the first draft, then you won't even have anything that interesting or deep to play with. I would say let yourself go off on tangents, but then yes, when it's time to revise, you will have to look at the tenets of your genre, if you're writing in genre, to make sure you're meeting those expectations. I can give a recommendation. The Anatomy of Genres by John Truby is an excellent book that can teach you just about story in general and in particular genres. That's a really great resource book that I would recommend for any author. So, The Anatomy of Genres by John Truby. And then to speak on, like you said, the original idea of how an author is sort of giving a part of themselves to their book. I can use the example of Jaws that I spoke about because or I wrote about in the post. And Jaws is the genre is horror. We have, and that's generally the tropes and the genre expectations in horror is that a protagonist is going to overcome some personal fear and overcome the monster and either survive or possibly keep others safe. And I think most people will know at least the general premise of Jaws, and that's exactly what happens. The police chief, Brody, has this terrible fear of water, but tries to close the beaches down, but they say, no, it's the busiest, 4th of July, busiest time of the year. We can't lose money. We have to keep the beaches open. So he's tasked with basically going out and he has to kill the shark. That all of that meets the genre expectations. What I thought was so interesting is I watched, it's been 50 years since Jaws, the film was made, and Steven Spielberg spoke about it and he immediately said, oh, well, the film, it's about home. There's genres of home. Getting home, being home, longing for home. And I thought that was so interesting. And that's why I ended up writing a blog post about it. Because, of course, if anybody asks you, well, what's Jaws about? Well, it's about a shark that's attacking and terrorizing this beachside town. But as soon as you hear the creator, Spielberg, talk about it, he said, well, it's about home. And that's what I really want to sort of talk about in terms of giving a bit of yourself to your film, your book. And you can see this documentary. It's a National Geographic documentary. It's called, I think, Jaws at 50 or something like that. Basically, it then flashes to all of these scenes that they are talking about home. They're singing the song about, oh, I want to go home, you know, when they're out in the boat waiting to trap and kill the shark. And then Spielberg goes on and talks about how he was 27 years old when he was making this film. He, you know, it was before he was Steven Spielberg. He was way over budget. He was way over schedule, and he was so scared he was going to be fired and he would never work again. And he said he was calling his mom, you know, and just going, I'm in over my head here. I don't know what I'm doing. He's out on location, and he just wanted to go home. That was, to me, such a beautiful example of a creator, a director in this case, taking what he was really struggling with and these deep sort of desires of his, and he wove that into the film. The film's pretty different than the book, but he was able to give some of his own personal fears and struggles to the movie. It still meets all the genres of a horror movie, but the point I wanted to make is that because it isn't just about a shark, it does have these deeper thematic threads that were very personal and resonant to the creator. That's why we're still talking about it 50 years later.
Okay, that's great. And that makes a good actual little breaking point. So we're going to pause for a brief appreciation break from our sponsors. I'm Patty Grasher. I'm talking with Abigail Radke. We'll be right back with some more factors of what personal journey that an author goes into in creating their book.
The Columbian and Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
You are listening to Northwest Book Talk, and I'm Patty Grasher talking with Abigail Radke. We're going to continue our journey into discovering how new authors can put themselves into their books and yet create a good book. So, Abigail, let's talk a little bit about characters that are not the main character. How do we build those characters and make them unique and personable, but still not just a complete mirror image every time of ourselves?
Yeah. That, I think, a good thing to be thinking about in terms of all characters is fears and desires, always on every level, in every scene. When you're dealing with your protagonists and you have also secondary characters, every character in that room want something. They have their own fears. They have their own desires. They're going to come at things different ways. And I like to say that in terms of antagonists, an antagonist can be anybody. It doesn't have to be someone who's evil or necessarily, you know, conflictual. An antagonist is anybody within a scene that's sort of breaking the protagonist's expectations, causing them to change their direction, think about something, do something different than they had originally planned. So that's, I think, where you can differentiate characters. And this is true for your protagonist too. You're always thinking about, yeah, what do they want? What do they fear in these moments and why?
So that leads me to the question of discovering, am I going to write in the first person or the third person? Or, you know, how am I going to develop the characters and then make it about the protagonist without going, you know, every other chapter is somebody else coming into the scene?
And that's where your point of view character is going to be your, or characters is going to be your main character, you know, and a good rule of thumb is that any point of view character, you're writing from their point of view, whether it's first person or close third, they need an arc. We need to see them change and transform in some way. And Patty, just to go back to sort of crime or cozy mystery, sometimes the protagonist doesn't change. That's a flat arc, but they create and elicit change around them by solving a mystery, by catching a criminal. They make their community better. They have influenced the community. So that also counts as change. But the story is change. Something changes from the beginning to the end. You know, in like I said, in crime, in mystery, in cozy mystery, that could be solving the crime, and then you've changed something in the community. But for and you can also have personal change within the character. That's never a bad thing. That only deepens the story. If there was some sort of personal problem or flawed worldview for the character in the beginning, and somehow the events of the story have influenced the character by the end to think differently and act differently, then that's a character arc.
There are writers that do pantsers and there are writers that do plotters, right? So when that first draft, it almost sounds like it's almost better to just be a pantser and get the dang thing done. But at the same time, I don't even know where to start. So I almost feel like I want it outlined, at least something, you know? Yeah.
And both are good. I don't love the terms pantser and plotter because I think they're a little misleading. In the end of the day, you have to do it all. You have to trust in your story intuition. All of us who speak language, we tell stories all the time. So we have a lot of story intuition more often than we know. So we do want to pants in that way of like getting out of our own way, get that, you know, that critic, that editor off our shoulder and delve into what delights us, you know, sort of really lean into all of the elements that you love about your story. That will come out when you're having fun. It's funny. I read thousands of pages and I can tell it reads on the page when someone's enjoying themselves writing. And too often, especially I think when we are putting pressure on ourselves as writers, I've got to get this done or I don't know what I'm doing, you know, some of that pressure can really actually get in our way. So in terms of pantsing, we do want to have moments, have periods of writing time where we say, I'm going to let it flow. But then, in terms of plotting, yes, we also have to do that. My approach is that I say, write first. You know, if you have an idea, if something lights you up, you know, like you say, like you just have this idea of this, of a town, and you want to, you know, the sandbox book, this playtime book, and that sounds really delightful to you, and you have these ideas, get them down on paper. Because after that, you can analyze it and say, what do I even have here? You know, and read it over yourself. What do I like about this? And then you can see how those elements can work towards the points of your genre. I don't necessarily advocate plotting first and writing to the points, if that makes sense. I like to see what delights the authors about what they're writing about. And then, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship, really, because your generative draft, your pantser draft, can inform your structure, but your structure also really has to shape the material from your beginning drafts, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of stumped here. I'm trying to think about like I don't know. You said like write that first draft, maybe 3 to 6 months, whatever. What about world building? Where does that come into the book? Is it the beginning? Because that's kind of like with the cozy, it kind of feels like world building is a big part of where we start. What do you think?
Yeah, I think particularly for cozies, because oftentimes the location, whether it be like a quaint town, is almost like a character in the book. And I think the very reasons you're writing the book are the same. Are the same things that are going to attract your audience, which is brilliant. That's great to be aligned. I think people, who read cozies, they just want an escape. They want to feel like they're somewhere. So absolutely, you want to develop your world. But world building happens all through the book. What I would say about world building, and this is important because when getting back to point of view, is so much world building happens through the point of view of your narrator. The narrator is the avatar, and we get to experience the world through the narrator. Readers tend to feel a little bit distance when they're just reading descriptions, but they say, "But I don't know whose point of view this is." I think in this modern world, we all want to know, well, whose point of view is this? From whose perspective are we seeing this? So when you're able to world build from things that because your narrator is moving through that world, they're coming in, they're saying hello to, their friends in a coffee shop, they're riding their bike through town. You're able to world build by bringing in the details that your protagonist would notice. And they can certainly notice when something's different because that's key. We always want to know what's changing, what's new, what's different. And also, we get to know that world and what the concerns are for the protagonist. So when you can do both at the same time, that's when you really have a compelling narrative.
Oh, so this has been great, Abigail. I feel like we should just do this for a couple of months and I'll just interview you every week and we'll get going on this book. But yeah, it is kind of overwhelming for like a new author to or at least starting a new genre or whatever, because I've done nonfiction, but writing fiction is like, oh, it's so much more challenging than you think it would be. But yeah.
I always say because it's its own art form, and even really good writers and journalists even, we don't really learn to write scenes because that's unique to memoir, narrative memoir, and fiction. Scenes are sort of what makes those genres stand out, but they're unique also to those genres. So we have to learn, as we're writing our books.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. So thanks so much, Abigail, for speaking with us and for sharing. And I hope we can get some more questions. I've always asked my interviewees to share some more questions. So I'm going to send you some more and we'll cover those on the website and we'll have you back again because I really feel you always give great material. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. So nice to be here.
Thanks for tuning in to Northwest Book Talk on KXRW.FM.